James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are feeling good today. Hope you guys are ready to roll. We got plenty of things to dive into today. Definitely going to be piggybacking off of a number of topics that we had yesterday. Very eventful day here on the show, also really for the station. Coach DeBoer joined us at the top of the hour. Really got to go and break down A-Day at length with Coach DeBoer. Got to ask him a number of some, you know, really good football questions, and hopefully you guys enjoyed that. For any of you that might have missed that interview, you can always go back and listen to it on our YouTube channel. Matter of fact, I even posted it separate. That way you don't have to try to skip through the whole stream. No worries. You really can just go find it. I think it's titled something about 2026 Alabama Preview interview with Coach DeBoer. So make sure you guys check that out, man. Really good stuff. He dropped a lot of really good insight on this 2026 football team, takeaways from A-Day, some things that they're going to be working on this offseason. So make sure you guys give it a listen if you haven't already. And, of course, wherever you listen to our show on any podcast platform, Spotify, Apple, all that stuff, you can always listen to the reruns over there as well. But I want to really dive into that because I know we had a little bit of time to piggyback off of some of the stuff that was mentioned in the interview, but not a whole bunch yesterday. So I'm opening up the door for that again today. And plus, we will continue to break down A-Day, right? I mean, why not? I know we've talked about it a whole bunch, but there's always more that we can learn from it. And, you know, you find out even more when you talk to other people. So we will be doing that, not only with you guys, 205-342-9904, but also Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, who will join us at the top of the hour today. Really looking forward to getting his thoughts on A-Day, everything that he walked away, you know, believing about this football team going into 2026. I think it was Clint's first time outside of the open practices for him to really get to see this football team. I know he was fired up about it. He talked about that on the show last week, man. Really excited to really get to see them in action. So we're going to get Clint's breakdown at the top of the hour here on the show as well. We got Reed behind the glass. Reed, I don't think I've talked to you since A-Day. I know we had Chase on here yesterday. Did you get to go to A-Day? I don't know if I found out if you were there or not.
Yes, sir, I did.
How'd you, what'd you think about it? How'd it go?
Well, if I'm being honest, my first initial reaction, it was hot, very hot, like most people. But no, me and my dad went. It was great. It was his first time for any kind of A-Day. It was my, I believe, third time. Nice. So yeah, it was really good. I heavily preferred this format than last season's format of just the practice, because I went to that and I was kind of, I wouldn't say I was left disappointed, but it wasn't exactly, in my opinion, worth it. Well, I actually felt like I got some worth going to it this year.
Nice. Yeah, I can agree with you on hot, man. That is, to say the least, it definitely was. I don't even know what the temperature was, but it just, even I was, normally I'm good with being outside. I'm outside a whole bunch, but I just was like, man, this is different. But anyway, definitely was a fun event, man. Yeah, I guess I missed you there. Were you in the stands with your dad?
Yeah, I was going to come by, and then I was just like, I was like, man, I look a little bit for him, but if I don't find him, man, I'm heading back.
No, I don't blame you. You don't need to be walking up and down those steps too much in that heat, man.
Yeah, I was about to say, of course you can't see it really, but man, I'll tell you what, I got a bit burned from, this weekend.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us. Speaking of A-Day, there's some updates that we definitely need to dive into today. Some news that came out yesterday when Coach DeBoer came back on the station. He was talking with Ryan Fowler. He did give an update on Noah Rodgers. A lot of you guys were asking me to ask that question, and I was really engaged with all the other questions that I had that I didn't get a chance to ask it, but I'm glad Ryan did, because he, in fact, did give an update. I wasn't expecting to give an in-depth update like he did, but we did find out that wide receiver Noah Rodgers will miss at least the start of the 2026 season. So it definitely sounds like it's one of those injuries that's going to have a lengthy recovery time, several months out, and we don't even know exactly at what point in the season he'll be back. And to be fair, even if he is cleared to really come back, we don't know how much of an impact he's going to have, which I hate for the young man, because I remember, you know, when we signed him out of the portal, I thought it was a great pickup. This spring, he had been doing a phenomenal job, really stepping up proven to be a very reliable wide receiver in that room. And I was really impressed with him coming out of scrimmage too. Then I know he goes down in A-Day, and we were hoping for the best, but unfortunately ended up being probably what we all were fearing that it might be. And there wasn't a specific diagnosis. I think it is pretty clear that I want to say it's a knee injury. I don't know if that's necessarily, I guess, reported, but I think we all kind of can pick up on that. So, definitely wishing him a speedy recovery. Again, hate injuries. They're a part of the game. I've had my fair share. I know how frustrating it can be, especially when you're in a position to see a significant amount of playing time. That's, I tore my biceps literally the game I won my starting job. Like the first time I was deemed a starter at Sam, linebacker here as a junior, redshirt junior, tore my biceps and had to miss a number of games. It was supposed to be out the whole season, but luckily enough, thanks to Andrew Sports Medicine, who is one of our partners here on the show, Dr. Kane and his staff, all those doctors, they're phenomenal. Best in the business, man. And Jeff Allen, of course, Jeremy Giselle, everybody, right, in that training room. They're the best when it comes to getting guys back healthy and back on the football field. So even though it's very unfortunate that Noah Rodgers did come out of A-Day with that injury that's going to sideline him for a number of months, I guess the good news, if there is any, is that he does have a chance to return this season. And two, he's in some really good hands with that athletic training staff, all the medical team, the doctors, Andrew Sports Medicine, everybody that is involved with it. So definitely hoping we can get him back, because I do think it's going to be important that, either he comes back at some point or we have some of these young guys step up, which we'll talk about that here in a moment, Reed. What does it mean for Noah Rodgers to be hurt? Because, again, just a week ago, we were talking a lot about this guy. Now, he probably was going to be, I don't know if you want to call it a replacement for Jeremy Bernard, but we know the impact that a guy like Jeremy Bernard had in terms of his consistency, his reliability. Last year, Ryan Williams, we know, kind of had a little bit of a sophomore slump, some inconsistencies there. Latsier Brooks really came along towards the end. It was a little quiet for Isaiah Horton initially, then he started to get going. But somebody that was probably consistent throughout, whether that be, with their performances, whether that be with their hands, route running ability, just all over the place. Even somebody that, lined up in the backfield at times. Jeremy Bernard was just somebody that you could depend on. And I felt like Noah Rodgers was slowly kind of taking steps towards that. And I don't know if I would deem him, in that same role as Jeremy Bernard in terms of everything that Jeremy was doing. But you can't discount it that Noah Rodgers is definitely going to be a big loss. And we'll talk about what that means and kind of what we could see happening in the meantime while he does work himself back. We got to talk about the offensive line, the running game at depth. With Coach DeBoer, I don't know if you guys got a chance to see I posted on our X account. There's a tweet basically saying, we talked about the running game with him, and it was interesting to hear. He basically confirmed something that we had been talking about a lot here on the show, Reed. I don't know if you remember this, but we really talked about, having that identity in the running game. And that was one of the questions that I wanted to ask him, from his perspective, what are some things that they're doing? Because I know when it comes to running the football, right? And he hit on this a lot. Execution is pretty much everything. No offense to the fans, but the fans that think it's all about just the weight room, like you heard exactly from him. That's not the issue, right? I know a lot of people were seeing Coach Ballou walk in the stadium and they're just like, oh man, we got to get stronger. And I'm like, no, guys, it's not that. The head coach has confirmed that. Trust me, it's not that. But from an execution and fundamental standpoint, things need to improve. So he hit on that. But what was interesting was the whole point about having an identity and really maybe looking at potentially narrowing some things down to the point where you can really master some of these, I guess, schematics that you have in there, right? Being something you can hang your hat on. Those were his words. And really, it's kind of crazy. He basically reiterated everything we had been talking about. I posted a short probably a couple months ago when we had Landon Tengwell here on the show and talking about the offensive line, the running game, and Coach DeBoer pretty much confirmed everything that we were saying. So really good news to hear, knowing that that's something that they're going to work towards, because I think that really is going to pay off. And I already know what people are going to say to that. Well, we didn't see too much of a difference in the spring game. Well, guys, you got to remember, they've only practiced, like 13 times at that point in time. I want to say they hit the practice field this morning, but, it's going to be a work in progress. And he even alluded to that. You don't necessarily expect it to change overnight. Now, if I'm just being completely honest with you, I don't know what the true ceiling is for the group. I'm keeping my expectations relatively low, where I think they'll be a little bit better than last year, but I don't see it being leaps and bounds better. But I do know they will be better. at least from what you even saw on A-Day. So anybody that's a little concerned about that, the whole running game aspect, I know people paid a lot of attention to that. Just remember, it's a spring game. To be honest with you, I don't know past stats, but I would argue you're not really expecting to see a whole bunch of, I don't know, maybe you do see a bunch of yards on the ground if defense is just that bad. But I feel like typically in spring games, or at least just a springtime period, sometimes, you know, defense is a little bit ahead of the offense, really just as a whole. It just naturally kind of works out that way. So it's not too big of a shocker, in my opinion, that the running game is still a work in progress, given that there's still so many factors and things involved from all the new faces. You got a new coach, a lot of youth. I mean, there's a lot. So we'll have to just wait and see. But we'll dive into all that and more coming up here on this Talking Tuesday edition. But first, we got to hit a timeout. 205-342-9904. I'll open up the phone lines early, right? We got Clint at the top of the hour. So if you guys want to get in on the conversation and offer your thoughts, because we haven't really talked to a whole bunch of people about their A-Day thoughts and reactions, well, you can do that. Hit us up on the phone lines, or you guys can always join us on the streams. We stream live every day that we do our show, Monday through Friday, 11 to 1, right here on YouTube, of course, at the Miller's Edge, on X at the Miller's Edge, and on Facebook on the Tide 100.9 page as well. Don't forget about that Tide 100.9 app. Completely free, allows you to listen to not only us, but all the shows here on the station, wherever you're at, and really whenever, right? Because all the pre-recorded episodes are also posted there as well. We're going to hit this timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
For you, stuff a couple of hot dogs in them at the food trucks while you enjoy the great music of Whiskey River. Visit www.tuscaloosagauntlet.com.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Again, we want to go to you guys as well, 205-342-9904. If you guys are wanting to get in on the conversation, make sure you guys do that relatively soon, because at 12, we will have, we'll have Clint Lamb from Cover Crimson. Sorry, I just read something. Oh, that's go Braves. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. I got a new hat on, by the way. It says Los Bravos. Reed, I don't know if you peeped it, but it's Braves hat. I'm sure you guys picked up on that. But hey, you know me, man. I got the Dolly Tide hat, which basically just means Roll Tide in Spanish. Then I found this one. I came across it online, and I was like, I got to order it, man. It's kind of you know, the same theme as the Dolly Tide hat. So yes, Los Bravos is what I'm wearing. But yes, I drew a blank for a second. We had. Have Clint Lamb joining us at the top of the hour, so we'll dive into some A-Day talk. So if you guys want to get on the conversation, make sure you guys do it before then. That way you don't have to wait too long. So I promise we'll get you on quick. 205-342-9904 is the number. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and go straight to the phone lines. We got Pat up already. Pat, welcome in, man. How was A-Day for you?
Good morning, man. Hey, did you make it to the scrimmage A-Day?
Of course. Man, you heard me talking about it.
I've been talking
about it for 3 days.
I know. I'm messing with you. What I want to know is I counted. I set up in the middle of the red chair backs at the top, and Ellis and I did. And we counted nice. 200 and took between 215 and 230 yards passing for Jalen. According to Wyatt Fulton's 11 article right after A-Day, he had him at 220. And they got nuts out there saying that he was at 240. That's a tremendous discrimination. I mean, discrepancy. And I feel like that there's very good possibility that they didn't take into account the penalties and different things, other things that took away yardage and all from passing and stuff.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Pat. I just was going off of anybody that were, you know, keeping up with the stats. I think it's going to be unofficial because I've seen, like you said, 220. I've seen 240 initially. I just was going off of Charlie Potter, who he posted his relatively quickly, like as soon as A-Day had finished. So I've been going off of that. But I think regardless of whether it was 200, 220, 240, I think we all can agree that he, without a doubt, was the best quarterback on the field there. Now, yeah. We talked about it yesterday, and we talked about it doing these breakdowns. If you guys haven't seen it, I did a whole film breakdown on A-Day and the highlights from UA. But I would say this. I mean, There definitely were moments where, yes, he would have been sacked if it was a real game. But if you're just breaking down what he did as a quarterback under those circumstances where, you know, they weren't really calling the immediate sack, so just imagine that wasn't there. The plays were still there to be made. The offense flowed really well with him in there, and he had a lot of explosive plays on the day. However, we did talk with Coach DeBoer yesterday, and I think it is important to point out Coach DeBoer did acknowledge, and this is true. I mean, I can vouch that it's not like every single day of spring practice, Keelan Russell has completely just dominated the day in that fashion where you see that big of a difference between the two quarterbacks. In fact, it hasn't been like that. Austin Mack has done some really good stuff this spring as well, and that's why Coach DeBoer is, you know, he's adamant on putting that out there, because you got to remember, I mean, A-Day is one day that fans get to, you know, see these guys in action. The coaches and, you know, people that are at practice have seen 13, 14 other opportunities for these guys to go out there and show what they can do. So that said, I'm with you. You know, Keelan Russell was phenomenal.
But don't you think there's a possibility that he could have sidestepped that tackle when he made that throw to Sadarius Morgan? Possibly could have.
Let me be clear. I'm not taking those plays away from him. I just know there's some people that were making the arguments, well, he wouldn't have made that because it would have been a sack. And I'm just saying, when I'm evaluating and grading him, I'm going off of the criteria being they didn't call the play dead, and he made that throw. Let's just say that defender or whoever's bringing pressure wasn't there. There still was a play to be made. But I'm of course going to acknowledge, yes, if it was a regular, you know, game and that pressure was right there, the outcome could be different, but we're just imagining it wasn't because we're evaluating him as a quarterback. But I also think it's important to acknowledge some of those guys on defense that made some good plays and that were providing pressure.
Yeah, well, his ability to adjust to what had almost just happened to him and go on and have the poise to step up and make the play it showed phenomenal athleticism. Do you not think?
No, I'm 100% in agreement that he is a phenomenal athlete. And that's why, you know, when I went in scrimmage number two last weekend, I immediately said, there is a play, I think he was rolling out the pocket, and I'm just seeing his acceleration, right? Once he knew, you know, nothing, you know, everything downfield was taken away, I'm taking off, just watching him accelerate downfield, I was like, man, he's a lot faster than I even initially was thinking. So, yeah, whether it be him evading pressure and scrambling, or even just, I know they had some zone read type plays in there. We're seeing a little bit more RPO game, including this offense. Yeah, I know. I think he's a phenomenal athlete. I think, you know, a lot of people got to see that on display. I mean, not only is he quick, but he's got a little wiggle to him. You saw him, you know, he's a little shifty, can make guys miss. Now, I will say, in the season, if he's, you know, playing significantly, you definitely want to be careful about the number of shots a guy like that takes. He's not the biggest guy. Now, he's put on some weight. I think he's now finally crossed the 200-pound mark, which is great. I think he's like 201. But you don't want your quarterback taking too many shots. I know Milroe was the guy that ran the football a lot, but Milroe was almost built like a linebacker. I mean, Milroe was like 225. I mean, if you guys saw Milroe, you know, and stood next to him, I mean, the dude was pretty, you know, pretty rocked up. Still didn't even like him taking a whole bunch of hits. So I will say, if we are going to see him running a whole bunch this upcoming season, hopefully he also learns how to be smart and knows when to get down and knows when to get out of bounds, right? Because as a quarterback, we always, it's like this with any position, but even more so a quarterback. Best ability is availability.
Yeah. The play where he had the 10-yard pickup running the ball, man, he looked fast to me.
Oh, yeah. 100%. No, he can move, man. Hey, listen, he's a special player. I'm excited for him. I'm excited. But again, the battle's not over. You know, you can't, you know, get too far ahead, but it definitely did, you know, probably leave a really good impression on a lot of people in that building with what he was able to do in that game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anybody
else?
I really like the way that defensive front seven played. Shocked at the way they put together, because this is basically, for lack of a better terminology, a hodgepodge of players from all over the place that they put together, along with players that we already had, in order to make what looked like a fairly decent front seven, especially inside linebackers.
Yeah, I'll say this, man. I I also take into consideration that they're missing a number of players. So I'm excited to see when a guy like London Simmons gets back and he's back on that defensive line, because I think they'll be even better. I thought they did a solid job. I definitely think there's still some things that we need to get better at. You know, you guys hear me talk about it all the time. You know, consistent pass rush with only four guys. I want to see more pressure generated when we're in those situations. I think that's really key. But in terms of, you know, the depth that it looks like we have on the defensive line, now, to be fair, I also think part of it is our offensive line might be a little bit further behind the defensive line. So while I do think the defensive line played well and they were impressive, I'm still waiting out a little bit longer to see once we're stacking up against some other teams, because that's when you really have a true test. But Steve Bumwa, I thought he was really impressive with the disruptiveness. I mean, Terrence Green had a couple nice plays in there. I wanted to see, you know, Devin Tompkins and how physical he could be, and he definitely checked that box for me. I liked what I saw out of him. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think it looks solid. The linebacker play was pretty good as well. So I think they're taking some really good steps this front seven right now.
Yeah. I appreciate you taking my call. If you hear from your daddy, tell him I said hello and wish him health over there in South Carolina.
Listen, I think he's just fine, Pat. You know, he was supposed to join us for the interview with Coach DeBoer yesterday. And granted, he was going to, he's at a golf tournament. And he was going to take, go off to the clubhouse, I should just say. Take a quick timeout from the golf tournament, hop on. That didn't happen. And then last night, I guess the final concert, because it's Monday after the Masters, was taking place. And he was on stage on Facebook Live. So he is just fine, is what I'm getting at. He is in great health, great spirits. And he's having the time of his life down in Myrtle Beach right now. But I'll definitely tell him you asked about him.
Have a blessed afternoon.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, brother. Good deal. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. I said we got Nick on the phone lines. 205-342-9904. It's Talking Tuesday. We're talking A-Day, talking Alabama football, and more. Plus, we'll be talking with Clint Lamb at the top of the hour from Cover Crimson right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
At Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Find adventure, power, and performance today at Tuscaloosa Jeep Dodge Ram.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Providing essentials like clothing, hygiene items, and household goods. Put help within reach. Learn more at good360.org.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping
in your favor with Brands Pros Trust. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 422 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless.
Additional charges for delivery or installation. Sales applies to all new and used in-stock equipment items. All sales final. Sanford Restaurant Equipment, just off Bridge Avenue in North.
Stay locked in, Tide fans. This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're talking A-Day, doing it with you guys, 205-342-9904. You guys are pretty much a co-host on a Talking Tuesday. Let's go back to the phone lines. We got Nick up next. Nick, welcome in.
What's up, Christian, man? I thought I'd just call in for a few minutes. You know, ever since I caught your show about 3 months ago, man, it's like a fix for me because I'm Alabama through and through. But, man, you know, y'all kind of went over the quarterbacks. And I just want to say, man, I've been for Keelon Russell ever since they recruited him. But, man, Mac is a good quarterback. He could be starting at any school and could have and chose to stay at Alabama. And I think competition, both of them competing, and I'm not giving up on either one of them. I think both of them going together, you know. But y'all kind of went over the quarterbacks. I wanted to see what your assessment, you know. I love your breakdowns, the film breakdown, because I didn't get to go to A-Day this year. But, you know, our run defense, you know how we've been kind of having trouble with that. What's your assessment on what you saw this year, how that's going to be? I mean, do you think these linebackers and our front line's going to hold up good against the run, or are we going to be like bend but don't break defense? Are we going to be, you know, stuffing them? What are you thinking on that?
Man, really good question, Nick. Something that we didn't really, I mean, we've talked about it, but not in depth. So I'm glad you brought that point up. I think it's a little early to tell, but if we're going off of an A-Day assessment, kind of what we saw in terms of run defense, well, if the offense didn't have a lot of success running the ball, that typically means the defense did a nice job, right? And so I would say they did. I thought there was a lot of physicality up front, really on both sides. Even though the offense didn't execute great running the football, I will acknowledge there was some nice battling going on, right? There's some physicality. I saw some intensity on both sides of things. But if you watch the defense, you can see, and I know you mentioned you didn't get to make it to A-Day, but on those highlights that were posted, again, courtesy of UA Athletics, you did get to see guys like Steve Boomwall, right? You know, being very disruptive, yeah. Right? Playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage. And I thought they did a nice job up front in terms of linebacker play. There's a couple things that I did note. Number one, I think tackling was a bit of an issue. I hit on that on some of my takeaways, and Coach DeBoer alluded to that when we had him on the show yesterday. Tackling needs to be better. The good news is that's fundamentals, right? I mean, those are things that you can work on and practice and improve on. That's wrapping up. That's vice tackle drill. That's driving through contact, getting your head across. We can clean up some of that stuff, right? And you just always got to make sure you're being physical doing that. But in terms of them working together and executing, Dwight, who was a frequent listener, man, he's always, you know, throwing clips at us. He was at A-Day and sent us a clip, and it was a nice run by, I think it was Daniel Hill. Yeah, it was Daniel Hill on the run. They're running outside zone, and I just kind of broke it down where it was a really good run, and part of the reason it was a good run was because it wasn't great on the defense. And one thing that I noted was with the outside zone, everybody's working laterally. They're working to the side. So defensively, you want to try to get upfield and press vertical. But as linebackers, the last thing you want to do is also start running sideways. Why? Because that's what they want you to do, because they're looking for that cutback. And that's exactly what ended up happening. So on that clip, and I'll put it on the screen here in a little bit, that is the thing that those are the tendencies you got to be careful of. And I feel like we've seen that over the past few years, and that's led to some of these explosive runs. It's not always – it's kind of like when you talk about the running game and everybody immediately assumes everything is on all the guys up front. Sometimes it could be. Maybe it could be a tight end whiffing. Maybe it could be the running back not hitting the hole or the right hole or having bad vision. Well, in this case, the linebackers, they've got to play downhill, right? And sometimes I've seen our linebackers, we're playing way too laterally. And what happens is you're trying to avoid and run around blocks. Well, you're just opening up lanes, like cutback lanes for the running backs, and that can lead to big plays. What should be a 2-4 yard gain ends up being an 8+ yard gain when linebackers play like that. Or I saw a couple times guys, you know, jumping inside. Like I think Yonze on this play, he felt that wide reach block. And you'll see guys make plays like this. They put their foot in the ground and they come underneath. And sometimes they'll make a tackle for loss. But what happens is, you know, that's removing the edge of the defense if you don't redirect vertically immediately. So I'll say this. I think the physicality from the guys up front was nice to see, especially knowing that London Simmons, who I think is probably one of the best defensive tackles we have, he wasn't even out there. So I'm imagining him coming back and with the bigger bodies they have, with the more length, I think there's a chance that defensive line does a good job. The linebacker play was solid. I like Caleb Woodson. There's some good athletes, QB Reese, even Luke Metz. I'm seeing him on the screen right now, get in on a tackle. I think they'll do some good stuff, but they just got to make sure, man. The good news is that we saw some physicality and guys are, you know, great athletes that run into the ball, but fundamentally and in terms of just making those, you know, decisions right, we're not going to run around blocks. We're going to run through contact. We're going to put a hat on the hat and maintain our integrity of our gaps. If we do those things, Nick, I think it can be pretty good, which we did see that get cleaned up over the course of last season. But it starts with physicality up front. Linebackers got to be physical as well. They got to play downhill, can't avoid blocks, and everybody's just got to be gap sound. And I think we'll do a pretty good job.
Yeah, man, I do too. And I tell you, we are so, I mean, you talk about talent, the stat is our safety, our the safeties, the corners and everything. I mean, if you wouldn't even hardly know that Dre Kirkpatrick, but Bray Hubbard was even missing. You know, they could just, I've heard them say they could take a day off and, you know, you would be almost fine because our safety room is just so stacked. You know, I like Jay Minsky. I mean, I think he's a good player. Dre Kirkpatrick, we got some really good players on defense. I know everybody's really stuck on the offense, but, you know, I believe our defense is going to have to keep us in some games at first till hopefully our offense, you know, can mesh together, the lines hopefully comes together, you know, during the first few games, and I believe our defense is going to be the strength of our team. That's what I believe, you know. So,
yeah, and we kind of saw that a little bit last year towards the end of the season, right, Nick? I mean, the offense almost flipped, right? You know, defense, I wouldn't say they struggled early on, but there was definitely some things that needed to get cleaned up, especially in that Florida State game. Offense wasn't terrible against Florida State, wasn't great, but, you know, defense had really struggled. And then, you know, pass rush was a little bit of an issue. Then as the season progressed, you saw Yonze Pierre step up. The run defense, little, you know, spotty at times early on in the year, got better. Then ultimately, they kind of flipped sides. Offense, who was doing great in the first half of the season, they started struggling, and defense was the one holding the weight for the remainder of the season. I think it could be like that, especially early on. You're expecting those growing pains. As great as Keelan Russell looked, as impressive as these wide receivers were, you still expect to have those growing pains early, given that you got a young football team and a lot of new faces. This defense, however, you know, I think they could help, you know, carry that weight. But I think all around, it's like Coach DeBoer said, it's all about finding all those little details and making sure we're paying attention to them and we're doing them on a daily basis. Because like I said, all it takes is one guy. You know, football is a game of inches. You know, if you guys watch my breakdown, you'll see. I mean, we point out it can be the difference of a guy not getting his hat across, like one guy taking the wrong step. One guy should be working back. He doesn't block a guy. He ends up making the tackle. Those are all the key things that you know, really makes this game of football and really separates teams from being good, great, or elite. And so hopefully we can keep doing those things. But, yeah, I'm excited about our defense, Nick. I think we're going to have another year of some good defensive play. Now, I don't know. The pass rush, I'm still trying to see kind of how that comes along. But just like last year, we didn't really know how it was going to be. Yonze ended up stepping up. I'm hoping somebody like Justin Hill, who I think has a lot of potential. Hill, I hope he can be that guy. Yeah, because, I mean, we know what he can – I mean, he's physical. He sets the edge. I mean, this dude is a damn good football player. But, you know, the biggest question for him is how can he keep taking those next steps with his pass rush? I know Zulu's, you know, in there, and I think he can help out some. But I think Justin Hill is a guy to keep an eye out for maybe, you know, taking those steps.
I do, too. At first, I thought Zulu was going to be the answer, you know. But seeing Justin Hill, I'm really high on him and London Simmons. Like you, I'm kind of a defensive guy. I loved playing defense in school, so that was my favorite. So, but man, keep pumping out them. I love them breakdown videos and the videos you putting out. It's excellent, man. I actually learn a lot. I think I know about football, and I sit there and listen to you break it down. I'm like, man, I just don't know nothing.
No. Listen, no. Hey, listen, I think you know plenty, Nick. But no, well, thank you. Well, no, I think you know plenty, but no. But that's I love to hear that because that's why I enjoy doing it, man. The whole mission is to help kind of teach the game, you know, and use a lot of the lessons that I learned from playing it and learning from some of the best, including Coach Saban and you know, pouring that back into you guys. Because I appreciate you guys having that interesting wanting to learn. You know, there's a lot of people that they just want to watch the game. They just want to scream and yell at players on the TV, whether they're scoring or not. But, you know, I love that you guys have that passion for it. And you guys want to learn about coverages, about defensive fronts, why guys are doing things, why exactly we're getting to this on certain looks. So I really appreciate the compliments and the support, Nick. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Christian. Everybody like and subscribe to this man. He really puts his heart into it, y'all. So, hey,
thank you so much.
Roll Tide, Christian. You have a blessed day, sir. Brother.
Thank you. Roll Tide, Nick. Thank you so much. You too, man. Good deal, man. Really nice guy. We appreciate Nick. He's very supportive of what we're doing here. On the Miller's Edge, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. Looks like we got Mike on the phone lines next. We'll go to Mike. We'll hear what Mike has to say. And then at the top of the hour, we'll hear from Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson and get his A-Day breakdown and analysis. All coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
With Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of the game, plenty to digest of A-Day. We'll continue that discussion here starting at 2 p.m. We'll talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL, the Big 870. Brooks Austin gives his take on Alabama's spring game and a lot more. Coming up starting at 2 p.m. on the game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide.
Longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next
9,000 for a free consultation, no fees unless we win. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be formed is greater than that of other lawyers.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5111. Or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website. You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's keep working these phone lines before we get Clint Lamb on here at the top of the hour. 205 342-9904. We got Mike up next. Mike, welcome in. Mike, you with us? Reed, maybe he dropped. Is Mike still with us, or do you need to click over for him?
I think he might have dropped.
Oh, man. Dang, sorry, Mike. That was quick, man. I feel like if I would, man, he called just 10 minutes ago. I'm like, dang, we've been working it quick, man. These people, golly, man. Sorry. Mike, if you want to circle back, man.
I was about to say, yeah, you never know what could happen. It could have been a connection drop. He might call back.
Maybe. So I'm like, man, I feel bad because normally we are a little slow about getting to the phone lines, and that's all on me. But to be fair, today I feel like we've been rolling on it. So, Mike, if you want to circle back, man, 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. All right, let's piggyback off of a couple of things that we've been talking about. I know we talked a little bit about the quarterbacks. We just talked about some of the defensive notes from the scrimmage with Nick. Really good question about run defense, which I think will be solid this upcoming season. I wanted to point something out, Reed, that I've been thinking about after watching. This is more on the offensive side of things, but everybody talking about this offensive line, and I know Coach DeBoer had commented on the group saying, you know, yes, if we had to play a game, I guess like today or tomorrow, you know, not necessarily pleased with where we're at, but he feels like they are making some strides, and there definitely are some things to build off of, but this is one thing that I wouldn't be shocked we could see happening at some point. I would not be shocked because we know that Michael Carroll got bumped into right guard, right? They've had Javon James at right tackle. I could totally see a world where if things aren't, you know, just going great offensively in terms of that offensive line, you see maybe Will Sanders come back. When I think of this offensive line for 2026, I see it including Will Sanders. I can see a world where Michael Carroll bumps back out to right tackle, right? I don't know, man. I could see it. Now, I am all on board with him at guard. I mean, I think he does a great job there. I know there's that clip we talked about, that Daniel Hill run. I mean, you see the athleticism. The dude was like sprinting down the field. He climbs the second level completely, just washes Caleb Woodson out of the way. And it really is, you know, one of the big things that set up that explosive run by Daniel Hill. But I could see a world where Michael Carroll, in fact, does bump back out to tackle. And we know that's where he wants to play, but he is being a team guy, and he's just doing whatever it takes to help this football team win. So shout out to him for doing that. But when you look at this offensive line, Reed, you said you were at A-Day. I know there's a lot of talk about it, a lot of people with different opinions depending on who you ask. Some people, they feel that, all right, we saw some positives in the scrimmage, maybe not everything we wanted to see, but we can see some of the potential. And then there's others that are saying, hey, man, this feels very reminiscent of last season. I don't have the most confidence where things stand currently. Where are you on that spectrum after going to A-Day and seeing it?
Well, Christian, if I'm being honest, you know, like you said, this is spring ball, so it's not exactly the fall. And we are missing a lot of key pieces on that offensive line. So right now, I like you said, I think I saw some bright. It's not where I'm kind of leaning toward the side of it reminds me a little bit of last year. But I think, like kind of Kalen DeBoer was saying, we're not where we need to be. So I'm not trying to jump the gun and get all worried now because, you know, we've got all of summer and including fall practice to get where we need to be. So right now, if I had to pick a side, I'm kind of leaning more toward there needs to be more improvement. But at the same time, like you said, the Will Sanders, and we haven't solidified those starting five yet. Now, credit Jackson Lloyd, you know, Michael Carroll, those guys have already kind of, I guess you could say, they're projected starters. But we just got to figure out what best five suits us. And I remember we talked about it not too long ago. You know, sometimes it's one of those instances where, hey, maybe Michael Carroll plays better at right guard, but what works best for the team is him playing at right tackle.
Yeah, no, and I think I think it's dependent on the other guys around him. The good news is he can play both and he can be highly effective at both, which while he really wants to play tackle, the good news is the fact that he's got position versatility is huge. And the fact that he's showcasing this, not just, okay, he's, oh yeah, yeah. Because a lot of guys can technically play a couple different positions or they've repped it in practice. But this guy has started at right tackle, going to start at guard and potentially work back. I think it's going to do numbers for his draft stock down the road. But this is how I view it, Reed. I'll say this. I'm in agreeance, right? Don't ever, you know, have a complete takeaway from the spring game as if like that's a tell all and that's exactly what things are going to be. Because I would argue it really could go both ways. And I said this yesterday, right? I mean, there's things that look phenomenal in the spring for football teams. And then the season comes around and it's almost like a 180. And then vice versa, things that look terrible in the spring and then end up being pretty dang good when the season comes. But I'll say this, man, if you really break it down, you know, position by position across that offensive line, like, because this is what I like to do. I like to dissect things. I don't like looking at things too much from a surface level, because what ends up happening is, you know, you might miss out on a lot of stuff, or you might end up making a decision, or you might come into it, you might come to a conclusion without really looking at the whole picture. And I think when you look at the whole picture, one thing that I can say is the running backs look better. Even if it was just seeing what they did after the ball was in their hands, you know, catching out of the backfield. I know it's not, you know, a run play, but I'm just saying, just watching the running backs move, watching Daniel Hill with his, you know, new and improved body, right? I mean, he's 235. He looked more explosive. He's running behind his pads, right? That's a positive that I think we can build off of. Because even last year, there was times the offensive line did a decent job of executing, but the backs fell short of what they needed to do. I think not even in A Day, but even from what I've seen this spring, I think they're much better. Well, let me slow down and work back. I don't know if I can just say, oh, much better, but they're definitely better, at least from what we saw.
There's been improvement, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, I got to be careful because people hear me say, oh, he said much better. Wait, whoa, but they're not. Whoa, okay. They're better. Let me catch myself. They're better. In terms of offensive line, let's break it down real quick before we hit the top of the hour break. Jackson Lloyd, I was a little skeptical about naming him, you know, starting left tackle, according to Ryan Grubb, 3 days into spring practice. And I think rightfully so, as a guy that's been in this position. I mean, that's just, you know, typically what you don't really want to do anyway. I've liked what I've seen out of him this spring. I totally see why they've been high on him, right? He's a really good athlete. He does a lot of things well. In my breakdown, I talked about it. Even just the natural instincts of, hey, they're working a text game on me. This backer just came and picked me. Now he's going, you know, through the B gap to try to get contained. I mean, he almost did like a speed turn, like a wide receiver just whipping around and then re-engaged on the block and picked it up and did a phenomenal job. Like, stuff like that, like, that's advanced. You know what I mean? So left tackle-wise, now he needs to get a little bit stronger, be a little bit stronger when it comes to anchoring down against power. I could see him getting better there, but I think he's going to be a solid player at left tackle. We already mentioned Michael Carroll, right? So you got two offensive linemen that I'm giving my stamp of approval. I'm pretty confident in those guys. Rayson Delgado, I mean, I think he can do a good job. He's scrappy. I like the intensity he plays with. I guess we go ahead and give him a little bit of a stamp. So really, it's got like two spots, man. If we can really figure that out, I think that offensive line could definitely take those next steps. But it's really going to boil down to really what Coach DeBoer was talking about. All the little details, all the little fundamentals. Guys being physical, it's an attitude, it's a mentality, and it sounds like they're really harping on that this offseason. So I guess the moral of the story is we're only 13, 14 practices in the spring, man. Let's wait until even like fall camp. Let's wait until a couple weeks into fall camp to start giving a little bit more of a definitive on, hey, what to really expect for 2026. Wasn't necessarily ideal in the spring game, but there definitely were things to walk away a little confident with, at least in my opinion. So we got to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson here on the stream. If you guys want to watch us at the Miller's Edge on YouTube or X, you can check us out, or of course on the Tide 100.9 Facebook page or on radio. Dial us up, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The late ball game Monday went to the Dodgers, shutting out the Mets 4-0. Andy Páez, a 3-run homer early. Mets have lost 6 straight. The A's had won 5 in a row, but lost at home 8-1 to Texas. 2 early home runs from Jake Berger. Cleveland and Miami with victories. Minnesota pounded Boston 13-6. The loss to Garrett Crochet, who trailed 11-0 in the second inning. At Yankee Stadium, 2 home runs for Aaron Judge. Yanks with 3 runs, bottom of the 9th, beat the Angels 11-6. 10-10. Mike Trout, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs in defeat. Pittsburgh and Paul Skeens won 16-5 over Washington. Philadelphia got 2 home runs from Kyle Schwarber and beat the Cubs 13-7. Baltimore came back to edge Arizona 9-7. Seattle sent Houston to an 8th straight loss, 6-2. In the NHL, regular season ends Thursday. Philadelphia in a shootout edged Carolina to clinch a playoff spot.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with 4-time SEC champion and 2-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM. WTBC.
Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're talking Alabama football here and really breaking down A-Day. And we're joined by our guest that joins us every Talking Tuesday at the top of the hour, Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. We just were joking about squeezing every bit out of A-Day. So best believe, guys, we're going to talk about it even more, even though Clint's posted plenty of content, I've posted plenty of content. Now we're going to do it together and talk about it and share our insight together. Clint, welcome in, man. How's everything going?
It's going fantastic, Christian. How you doing today, brother?
Man, great, man. Ready to talk some more A-Day in Alabama football. It's this time with you, man. We did it with Coach DeBoer yesterday and had a number of good things. Got a lot of good insight from Coach DeBoer regarding his football team coming out of A-Day, some of the expectations for this upcoming season. So I want to dive in immediately into A-Day with you, Clint. We haven't talked with you since it took place. I know it was your first time really getting to see them in action outside of the open practices to the media availability. And I know you were fired up about it. You talked about that last week, man. How did you walk away feeling after a day? What did you think about this football team as we get ready to put the pads up and head into this offseason?
I think if you went into it with realistic expectations, you came away pretty pleased. Any fan that was going in hoping that the running game looked significantly better or the offensive line was going to look significantly better, like, you probably walked away not only disappointed, but severely disappointed. But number one, I think Alabama's defensive front is pretty deep. I think they got a lot of bodies. Now, granted, some of those bodies weren't available on a day, but they still got a deep, pretty talented group. The offensive line's still trying to come together. I talked about on our show, you know, when you don't have both Ethan Fields and Will Sanders available, it is entirely possible that the first team was working with the third string left guard in Mal Waldrop. Now, I know the coaching staff is high on him, but not only does that affect the first string, but then when you start working down to the second and third teams, now you're working with, you know, Casey Poe as your number two left guard and other guys. And so even if you would have had one of those players available, or if you would have had both, you could have had Ethan Fields and Mal Waldrop as your two guards with Will Sanders and Mike Carroll being your ones. And I think that would have helped and made things look a little bit differently. But at the same time, is it still inconsistent? Is it still a concern overall? I would say yes. But I saw the running backs doing some things to create after the catch. I thought the vision was pretty good. I thought the offensive line did a better job. Now, granted, once again, still some inconsistencies there. But, you know, you saw them sustaining blocks a little bit better. You know, I came away very encouraged. And as you mentioned, and I thought it was a great point last week when we talked, as far as, you know, the complimentary pass rush to Yanze Pierre, still think there's some work to be done on that front. But overall, I think, you know, the off-ball linebackers look really good. I thought the running backs, a couple of them, really showed some encouraging things. The wide receivers, Derek Meadows, Cedarian Morgan, they had some bright spots, no doubt about it.
They really did. And, you know, my final 10 takeaways, you pretty much hit on the number of them, right? Running game still needs to, you know, needs to come along. But as you mentioned, I think it depends on your expectations, right? It depends on kind of your outlook really going into, I guess, spring right now. Listen, 13, 14 practices. If you're thinking that this new offensive line that consists of a number of young players, definitely new faces, a new coach, all those things considered, if you think it's magically just going to take a 180 this quick, I hate to say it, but you're setting yourself up for for some severe disappointment, like you mentioned. Wide receivers, I agree, man. I think, and I'm not saying I underestimated them, but maybe I did underestimate them a little bit. I think they surpassed some of my expectations in terms of what I got to see out of guys like Derek Meadows, like you mentioned, Cedarian Morgan really stepping up. One thing I wanted to see out of him, you know, after we signed him was, you know, can he create separation, right? How is his route running? I know, I mean, the dude's 6'4", 225. I know he can get up over a defender and he can, his catch radius is huge, big, strong hands. I saw all that, but getting to see him work the slot a little bit, getting to see him move around, man. I mean, this guy, you know, he looks the part, and I'm excited about that. And it's going to be important. You know, Noah Rodgers, we found out yesterday, Coach DeBoer was speaking with Ryan here on the station. He mentioned he's going to be out for a significant period of time, so that's unfortunate. But I guess the good news, I hate to say good news in a situation like that, is those young receivers seem to be promising. And defensively, yeah, you mentioned it, defensive line, some good depth. Pass rush still needs to come along. Hopefully they can, you know, see some guys step up there. But Xavier Griffin, man, he got some reps off the edge. And it did exactly what we were talking about here, right? I mean, he has a different gear to him. I mean, he's 225. He's quick. He's explosive. Love that counter inside. Nice scissors move. You know, beat Nick Brooks at right tackle, I believe it was. But, yeah, I thought there was definitely some positives to walk away from. Now, I don't think I was swayed one way or the other necessarily. I think I'm just, you know, grounded in knowing this is A-Day. We got to just continue to put some work in. But overall, it definitely was a nice show and a fun event, very hot. And definitely there were some exciting things to talk about. Keelan Russell stole the show. Everybody knows Clint. Yeah, quarterback, I mean, he's going to get all the attention, especially when the young guy people are just eager to see, and he goes out there and throws for four touchdowns, interception. A couple throws that probably could have been, you know, you might want back, some learning lesson throws, I like to call them. But what's your overall take, Clint, on this quarterback battle as we, you know, I guess, close out the spring? Now, Coach DeBoer did mention Austin Mack was dinged up some, so I think it's important to keep that in mind. But overall, where are you sitting? A lot of people are ready to anoint Keelan as a starter. I'm like, all right, let's be patient. But he definitely was impressive, Clint. How do you feel about it?
Well, number one, I want to start by saying Austin Mack was
Keelan Russell was the more consistent of the two in that scrimmage, in my opinion. But Austin Mack had some really, really good moments. And knowing that he was banged up, some of the throws that he was willing to stand in there and deliver under duress, I mean, he made a couple of really wild plays. And he's got the size and he's got a little bit of mobility. Obviously, when you're dinged up, that's going to hinder your mobility a little bit. But I want to start there because sometimes this conversation, when you get too excited about Keelan, you know, a lot of people take that as you're down in comparison on Mac. And really, I think Mac is very much still in this competition. I'm not going to ignore what happened on A-Day. I think anybody that watched clearly saw the playmaking ability, the ability to extend, the patience. I mean, he has a great feel for just playing the quarterback position. And as you mentioned, you saw a couple of, okay, he probably wants that one back. Definitely shouldn't have made that throw. A lot of it was when he was under duress, and there were some throws that he made that I don't think he's completing or getting off if it's a live game and he's allowed to be hit. And so that would have affected this stat line a little bit. Maybe, you know, it could have caused a fumble, or you just never know what's going to happen. That's not really a Keelan Russell problem per se. Of course, you would like to see the processing speed up a little bit, but I think he's in a really good place already on that front, considering where he's at in this process. But one of the things that I've continuously said is if Mac was going to really establish himself as the clear favorite, he probably need to do it in the spring, because over the summer, you know, we saw how Keelan finished the spring over the summer and into fall camp. I think he's going to be a guy who, as he gets more comfortable and confident, he's going to get all the more dangerous in this competition. And you just didn't see the kind of separation that probably a lot of people who are pro Austin Mac would have, you know, needed to see from him. Now, granted, that doesn't mean the competition's over, but I think right now, even exiting the spring, is probably leaning a little bit more Keelan Russell than Austin Mack.
It definitely feels that way. And I will be the first one to say, I mean, from my experience, just watching quarterback battles, I wouldn't say been a part of them. I was definitely not throwing the pigskin. That's not my specialty. But just seeing our guys, I mean, we had one spring, man, I think it was like 2015 or 16. Now, David Cornwell was running, I'm sure you remember him, out of Oklahoma. He was in my class in 2014. I'm not that old. But he was running with the ones. And we were like, man, Cornwell's doing good. And I don't know if something happened with him and Lane or what. But then the next thing, he went from the ones to like the fours. And I'm like, dang, well, that changed quick. Then Cooper Bateman was the guy. And then ended up being Jake Coker after all. I was like, okay, this is – so quarterback battles can definitely be interesting. But I do think there's definitely some time that they're – like you mentioned, I mean, it does seem like as time goes on, it's a good chance Keelan continues to progress. But I could also see a world where Austin Mack says, hey, man, maybe lights a little bit of a fire under him. I mean, I'm not – and I'll be honest. The separation hasn't been exactly what we saw versus A-Day. I mean, throughout the spring, Austin Mack is – like Coach DeBoer sat on my show yesterday and said, hey, if we pulled up Austin Mack's highlight reel, people would be, you know, blown away too. So you can tell. I mean, he's very high on the veteran in this case. I guess we call him a veteran quarterback in Austin Mack. So it's definitely going to be – interesting. Clint, I want to ask you about some news that broke about Noah Rogers. Now, he had come along this spring as being probably one of the most consistent weapons on the outside, transferred in from North Carolina State, doing some really good stuff, man. And then, of course, everybody's worst nightmare happened and went down with a pretty significant injury in a spring game. Sounds like he's going to definitely miss some time, at least, you know, the early part of the season. With him probably already looking at being like that wide receiver three option in this offense, who do you see picking up, I guess, that, you know, that spot now, or filling that void? Because it's kind of interesting. I mean, you got Derek Meadows, you got Sadarian Morgan, a number of guys, Rico Scott, that made some noise in this scrimmage. Who do you see out of that trio, or maybe even somebody we're not talking about, maybe filling the role of what Noah Rogers would have had in this offense, at least early on?
Well, I think that when you look at some of the things that Noah Rogers was probably going to bring the offense, you know, I don't know that he would have played the Z, you know, and they're going to move guys around anyways. But as far as like that move guy, the guy that you can put in motion, it really feels like Rico Scott's going to be an element there. You know, Sadarian Morgan's this big-bodied X style of receiver. He also played a lot of big slot on A-Day. He played it a lot on the high school level. Think he creates a mismatch in there. I love that. And I love getting him and Derek Meadows on the field alongside one another. We'll have to wait and see if that's, you know, pretty common come the fall. But at least in this A-Day scrimmage, I mean, that was definitely something you could play around with and cause, you know, the opposing defense some problems. But I think that Morgan's definitely positioning himself to get involved. I think Derek Meadows is doing some great things. It's not really, I think between those three, would you say there's going to be a definitive three? It could be more so like this past season where it was more like four guys. I mean, Lottie Brooks wasn't really quote unquote a starter, but he was every bit as much in the conversation as an Isaiah Horton or, yeah, you know, kind of Ron Williams and Jermaine Bernard were probably the most consistently used. But then between tight end, Isaiah Horton and Lottie Brooks, you kind of had a trio all there in a similar range as far as targets are concerned. I could see it being similar this season where really it's four guys. Now, who those four guys are going to be, I think the rotation will probably be five. But as far as the top four, I do think Rico Scott's probably going to be a part of that. You would think from a size element, maybe they would want to get Sadarian Morgan and Derek Meadows involved. But it's a really good group. I kind of worry about the depth. At this point, you can't afford another injury at wide receiver, especially to one of those top four or five guys. You still have one of the best collections of wide receivers in college football, in my opinion. I mean, I think Ron Williams is bound for a strong bounce back year. I think Lottie Brooks is going to take a big step forward in year two. I love what Derek Meadows is doing in year two. Sadarian's ready to compete. And then Rico's, you know, he can be a steady, reliable contributor for you as well. So I really like the room. Whoever ends up starting a quarterback, they're going to have options. But is there going to be a clear-cut wide receiver three? I mean, I think Noah Rodgers would have been that because just based off of all the excitement that Meadows and Morgan kind of generated on A-Day, all consistently throughout the spring, the word was Rodgers was the best of those three, and really including Rico Scott as well. So I probably don't think there's going to be a wide receiver three, an established one at least.
Yeah, definitely a number of guys they can roll with. And like you mentioned, I think you'll see a healthy rotation in that wide receiver room, which is, you know, very positive news, knowing that a few short months ago, I mean, there was like four and then five scholarship guys. And we were kind of wondering, like, who the hell is going to be catching the football? Everybody's talking about the quarterback battle, but who's going to be catching the passes? And then sure enough, man, I mean, they've really in the last couple of months, I guess, come along and progressed really nicely this spring. I would say like that group is really coming along. And I guess that makes me feel a little bit better about this offense. I know there's everything starts up front. Don't get me wrong. I'll be the first one to tell you that. I preach about it all the time, but you still need weapons, and those guys help out. And I think it's just reassuring seeing the growth of that group in such a short period of time. Clint, I know we touched a little bit on the offensive line group. You hit on it earlier, and that's a great point that you made. That was something I meant to hit earlier when we were doing a quick little run over with that group, is that a lot of the struggles I noticed from the scrimmage came from that left guard spot, whether it be in pass pro, even in the running game. I mean, it was evident that whoever was in there, I think Poe or whoever else, I guess, was running there, they had some issues. Even just going back and watching it, I was like, all right, left guard, here we go. So that spot needs to get cleaned up. But if you had to project an offensive line, I mean, we plan on doing an offensive line projection here on the show at some point, but not offensive line, offense, period. But if you had to project an offensive line group for 2026, how would that look at this point? I think we got like three names you can really guarantee, you know, Jackson Lloyd, Rayson Delgatti, Michael Carroll, either at guard or tackle, depending on how these guys, the other guys come along. But who do you feel solid about? I know it's kind of hard for me, the last two guys, man.
You know, I do think Will Sanders is in a strong position. You know, granted, I know he missed the spring. I know that was disappointing, but with the way that they treated Jackson Lloyd and Rayson Delgatti, I wouldn't have been all that shocked had Will Sanders been healthy and available if they would have treated him the same way and went ahead and told you he was pretty much the left guard. And I think him not being available, you didn't want to go ahead and hand him that job, you know, at this point in the process. But I know that the coaching staff's high on him. I know he's got a lot of talent, still some things to work on. You know, I thought he was a little bit inconsistent as far as a good feel for working up to the second level. But as far as being able to pull and get out in space, as far as pass protection, I thought he's made strides on that front. He didn't do it a whole lot on the high school level, so he needed to grow there. But he would be the left guard, my projected starter at left guard. And Javen James, you know, I saw him going to war some with Devin Tompkins and Kedrick Beanley-Jones and some of those guys. He's still some inconsistency problems, still some things he's got to work on as well. But I think ultimately with the way that he pretty much spent the entire spring with the starters, I'd kind of be surprised at this point unless somebody just steps up and proves that they're clearly the better option at that position, which I think Nick Brooks has not done that yet. Ty Haywood hadn't done it yet. And so as far as potential options, I mean, unless you plan on moving Michael Carroll back out there, I would say that Javen James is probably the most likely. And, you know, at the same time, I think probably the biggest threat to Javen James would be Ethan Fields, but not Ethan Fields at right tackle. It would be, okay, maybe they elected to move Michael Carroll back out to right tackle and slid Ethan Fields in the right guard. That's also a possibility, but it's going to be a good group, and I think they can even work a couple of spots into their depth and not have any sort of massive significant drop off. So I think they've done a much better job of not as much, you know, NFL talent right now established at the top, and definitely not the same amount of experience, but I think they've really done a good job of building more depth, especially at tackle.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's exactly the way I see it. Depending on the guys around them, right? Like you mentioned, if a guard steps up, like, you know, Ethan Fields, and you're saying, hey, we like Will Sanders, we like also Ethan Fields, Javon James we might like as well, but we know Michael Carroll can play right tackle. I think it just depends kind of, and at the end of the day, your best five, man, that's what should be the focus. And of course, I would imagine that's what it is for this staff going into 2026. We're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. You guys know him and love him, but of course, if you haven't checked him out, which I definitely urge you guys to do so, at Cover Crimson on YouTube, of course, on X, all podcast platforms as well. You can listen to him there in his personal at Clint Lamb, excuse me, Clint R. Lamb on X as well for all the latest updates that he puts out. Clint, to wrap up things on offense real quick, we got a super chat. Thank you so much, Phil, by the way. He says, love to hear you two chop it up. Who do you like to replace Quavis's role? Roll Tide. Clint, I'll let you go ahead and answer that, man. I feel like you've talked a good bit about these tight ends recently.
Yeah, I think at this point, I mean, he's a different style of player, but I think the primary tight end, he's always going to see quite a bit as far as targets. And so if you're talking about that specific type of role, I don't think Caleb Edwards is necessarily going to be a featured or volume piece, or at least not to the same extent as Josh Quavis. I don't think he's a yards after contact kind of player like Quavis was. But at the same time, he's still going to see a respectable share. We know that anybody who's starting a tight end in this offense is, you know, typically going to see a pretty healthy share. But you also got, you know, Josh Ford, who's going to be more of that blocking type. I loved how they used him on A-Day as far as kind of letting him do some Robbie Utes types of things as far as fullback, getting in the I formation, bringing a little bit of physicality maybe into the run game in certain instances and short yardage situations. I love that, but I don't think he's going to be a massive piece in the passing game. I think Marshall Pritchett is the one from, you know, that side of it where, you know, I don't think he's as established as Josh Quavis was, obviously, not as experienced, but I think they really like how he's coming along as well. Had a touchdown at least in the second and third scrimmages that we know about. So it seems to be a guy they're utilizing down there in the red zone a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think right now between those three players, and then Jay Lindsey's obviously going to factor in a little bit as well. We have no idea what to expect from Danny Lewis. That's one of those where I'm just going to have to wait and see how it plays out. But their tight end room, I think it's really heading in a good direction. They're extremely high on all three of those first guys that I mentioned.
Yeah, they are. And I agree. Passing game wise, I think Caleb Edwards and Marshall Pritchard really are coming along there, and you know what you're getting out of them. And I hope that with Richard or Coach Owens, I think he's able to, you know, help those guys in that aspect, because that would probably be their main point of emphasis this offseason, improve in the run block and when they're in that C area and inline position. And then Josh Ford, like you mentioned, he's going to be that tone setter, the physical guy. So I like the group. I know, I think Brooks mentioned it, the standard at tight end doesn't feel the same. I was kind of confused just because I didn't really know what our standard would be at tight end. That's kind of like the one position. Even if you look at like the Saban era, like, O.J. Howard, Irv Smith Jr., Cam Latu, once he moved to tight end, you know, I think did some really good stuff. But I'm like, I don't know if we have like this like incredible standard of guys like Gronkowski's, or, you know what I mean? Like, I hadn't really seen that. But I like the group that we have, and I think that they have some nice potential, and they all kind of do things kind of good in their own right. We got Clint for a few more minutes, so I definitely got to hit some defense real quick, Clint. Overall, you mentioned the defensive line. You like the depth there. Does anything else stand out to you? I guess you kind of hit on them already. What about the linebacker play? And then I'll get to the secondary because I know everybody's excited about that group.
Yeah, I mean, number one with the defensive line, Boumois. I mean, you know, you just hope that conditioning continues to move in the right direction, because when he is fresh, he is dangerous, man. The mm-hmm. power and the disruptiveness that he can cause on the interior. I mean, it might be 10, 12 snaps a game. It might be, you know, 7 or 8 snaps a game. I know that opposing offensive lines are going to hate every minute of him being on the field in 2026. I mean, they really are. He's not a fun – I mean, you can tell. I felt bad. And it wasn't just the A.K. Deer thing either, which I obviously, you know, Brooks Austin pointed out some things as far as, you know, how A.K. Deer was left in a vulnerable position by his offensive line. I completely agree with him on that. But Boumois certainly stood out up front. But the linebackers, I loved how they played, man. You know, I think between QB Reese – between, you know, obviously Caleb Woodson made several plays, and I actually got it, or at least I had it pulled up. I'd kind of gone through because I wanted to kind of track as far as, you know, boundary versus field, as far as where guys lined up. And Caleb Woodson was pretty much exclusively at Mike, that space linebacker. That makes perfect sense. When you look at Luke Metz, he was exclusively at Sting. So was QB Reese, both to the boundary side on every snap that I noticed from the highlights that they posted. So obviously I didn't track it in real time. But then you got guys like, you know, Caden Jones, who was seeing action at both. Abdul Sanders was seeing action at both. I think that they run, you know, pretty deep there as far as guys they could potentially get some impact out of. The big question that I have for that group is, what are they going to do with Xavier Griffin? Because I do think he's got tremendous upside as an off-ball linebacker. But as far as what he can provide this year and how he can help your football team with something that I think you're currently maybe lacking, it would be as a pass rusher. And we saw that on A-Day. So what do they end up doing with him? I'll be curious to see.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think that was kind of a glimpse at what we probably will see out of him. And that's exactly what I talked about last week, man. I mean, with Rashawn Evans, he had a different gear to him, offered a different element in that outside backer room. And it was hard not to let him get some reps here and there. And I think Xavier Griffin could find a role like that and carve something out for this upcoming season while still, you know, working at inside backer, because he definitely has a lot of potential there. There's no doubt about it. Clint, we appreciate you as always, man. Before we let you run, please tell the folks how they can find all the great work that you guys are doing.
Yeah, you can find me at Clint R. Lim on Twitter. Also, Cover Crimson. We do a daily show, podcast, Apple, Spotify. You can also find it on there. As always, Christian, I appreciate you, brother, and we'll definitely have to do this again next week.
Yes, sir. Sounds like a plan. We'll keep stretching this A-Day thing out. Don't you worry, Clint.
That sounds good, man. Good talking to you.
Yes, sir. You too, man. Good deal. Clint Lamb, everybody, big thanks to him. He joins us every Tuesday at the top of the hour. Make sure you guys check him out, like he said, at Cover Crimson, all platforms as well. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we respond. So we go back to you guys, 205-342-9904. I see Hunter was on the line. Hopefully he's still there, and others. If you guys want to get in on it, we'll be waiting right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide.
Tickets on sale now at PearlRiverResort.com. Don't miss Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias live Saturday, August 15th, Pearl River Resort.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors,
Bluetooth kits, and so much more. If your golf cart needs repairs, the pros at Dixie Custom Carts can handle the job. Dixie Custom Carts, Greensboro Avenue in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
From Tuscaloosa to the world, download the free Tide 100.9 app for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
And welcome back into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's go back to the phone lines. Again, big thanks to Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, who just joined us here on the show. He joins us every Tuesday. Make sure you guys check out all the great work that they do at Cover Crimson. But to the phone lines we go. 205-342-9904. We got Hunter up next. Hunter, I appreciate you waiting, man. What's going on?
Yes, sir. How we doing, Christian?
Man, can't complain. How's everything?
Going good, man. Going good. So I got a question for you, Christian.
Yes, sir.
So after A-Day, what do you think the biggest strengths and weaknesses are, after A-Day?
Man, good question. Biggest strengths, biggest weaknesses. Let's start with the weaknesses first, man. I think biggest weaknesses, we all can agree. Running game, not where it needs to be just yet. That's going to be important. We talked about it. We already know. I think if you listen to the show last year, we said that needed to be, cleaned up. And I think everybody can now finally understand why we were saying that at such length. And, especially now that you have a young quarterback, you definitely want to take as much pressure off of them, either one, whoever's going to be, as possible. So I would say running game, definitely a weakness. Then also I would say just pass rush, generating pressure with just four guys. Definitely want to see more there. And then tackling needs to be cleaned up. I think if I had to pick just like three main weaknesses that I saw, it would probably be those things just come to mind. Now, strengths, it could be a number of things. I mean, the receivers come to mind. I feel like this receiver room that was very thin a couple months ago, I think it's proven to be a really nice group, man. I was wondering how it was going to look this upcoming season. I mean, initially I was like, I know Ryan Williams and how special he is, but then Lotsier Brooks, him too, but I'm like, all right, you got Rico Scott, Derek Meadows, we signed Sedarius Morgan. I'm like, it just seems thin. I mean, it seems like it's got good potential, but is it enough? And sure enough, man, they've done some really good stuff. So I would say the wide receiver room was really impressive. Of course, we all know a strength, knowing that, Keelan Russell is a very special player and seems to be on pace to develop really quickly. But also, after having Coach DeBoer on the show, it's safe to say that Austin Mack still is very much in the running. But other strengths, I would say defensively, I mean, the secondary, they look to have a lot of depth, a lot of good, football players that can give you some valuable snaps. I think overall defensively, I walked away pretty encouraged with what I saw. And I don't mean to sound like I don't have a bunch of strengths offensively off the top of my head. I just think offense right now naturally is a little bit behind where the defense is. And so I think I just need to see a few more things out of them as we kind of go through the offseason. Tell me what you think. Is there anything you think I missed? What about you?
You basically hit everything on the money. I mean, like I said, what I've seen was O-line still looks a little shaky, obviously. I mean, brand new O-line. Most of them came from the portal, so it's obviously going to take some time. But I think a big strength, I can see QB. Either way, I'm comfortable with it, even if it's Mac or Keelan Russell. But also, like you said, wide receivers and secondary. I think the wide receivers and secondary is the best position group. So, and I'll say best secondary in the country. I don't know if you'll agree, but I really think that.
So. I'm always cautious before I throw out terms, but I have said on the show, I will say, Hunter, man, I mean, I've said, I think they're at least a top five unit, and they very much could, by the end of the year, prove to end up being a top unit. I know Notre Dame and a couple other schools have some really solid groups as well, but in terms of, like, top to bottom, I mean, you talk about guys like Xavier Brown, who didn't even participate in A-Day. Bray Hubbard, same thing. We know how productive he is. But then you see the young guys that can provide some very valuable depth, like Ivan Taylor, Jaire Edwards, I mean, Jordan Edmonds, a true freshman. I mean, there's a lot of players there. Then they got great length. They got good athleticism. They do a nice job forcing turnovers. Like, I'm excited about them. I think if they can, continue to get better in that run support, coming down, being physical, because that was one thing last year I think led to some of those runs, is we didn't always have the best run support from those guys in the back end. I think that's one thing I would challenge them to work on, but I definitely like that group. Yeah. I agree. I think they definitely can be one of the better groups in the country for sure. But without a doubt, I think the biggest takeaway is, this offense has a lot of potential, but it's really going to be determined on how that offense line can ultimately come together, which we knew going into this season, going into spring. And it's, I think, as clear as it ever was that whether it's, getting consistency and execution in the run game or even just, blitz pickup, things like that, they got to start working together. But to be fair, several guys out. We're only 13, 14 practices in. That position group requires you to gel and mesh. So, I mean, they have this summer to work together, go out to eat together, really form a bond, come back for training camp, really get it going, and hopefully they can make some strides. Because I think if they can find a way to put things together, this offense could be solid. Now, I still think we're still going to have an uphill battle when we talk about growing pains and just maybe some things that might might be some issues throughout the year, but yeah, I mean, but I think there's definitely a lot of potential without a doubt. We got some good players. They've done a nice job recruiting and evaluating.
Absolutely. Hey, yeah, before I go though, I do want to say thank you because I love like what you do and stuff. You motivate me to do like Bama content as well. So just want to say thank you.
Oh, nice, man. Oh, of course, man. Well, thank you for checking us out and watching. And definitely, yeah, man, if it's something you're passionate about, I definitely recommend doing it, man. It doesn't hurt you to just post some content, get in front of a little camera, and just start talking, man. You never know where it'll take you. But, yeah, man, do you have a channel? Do you want to shout your channel out? Yeah, shout it out.
Yeah, we're on YouTube at @RollTide_Nation. I know you talked to JT before.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, so I'm with him on YouTube and stuff. So we got a podcast. I do my own podcast with one of my boys every Friday night, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. And then we got a special guest this Friday, AJ Pauley, the defensive lineman who just committed.
Oh, nice, man. Good stuff. Yeah. I'll be on the lookout, man. I'll definitely be on the lookout, man. Yeah, you know, I like some defensive talk, man. So I'll be on the lookout, man. Hunter, I appreciate you calling, man. Thank you so much, man. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, bro.
Yes, sir. Take care. All right, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge.
And performing better. All you have to do is stop by Game Day Men's Health at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa for a free consultation.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Register now at TuscaloosaGauntlet.com and race for a cause. All proceeds benefit the Alabama Marines Foundation. The Tuscaloosa Gauntlet. Are you up for the challenge?
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
The Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
TuscaloosaCDJR.com.
Example, 25 Dodge Hornet, 32850, dime down, 575 a month, 60 months, 6% APR, plus tax, tag, title to qualified buyers.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, let's hit a couple of questions that we might have here in the chat here. Again, we stream live on YouTube, X, and of course on the Tide 100.9 Facebook page. Add the Miller's Edge on all of the platforms if you guys want to check us out, if you prefer to watch it. But of course, we first and foremost, our radio show, which we were honored to win the 2026 Best Sports Talk Show Media Market in Alabama at the Abbey. So check us out on radio at Tide 100.9. Download that app. It is completely free. We got one from Money. He says, does this new front seven have the capacity or the capability to handle mobile quarterbacks better than last year's front seven? That's an interesting question, man. Better than last year. Well, the edges, I always think first and foremost, when we're talking about containing a mobile quarterback, I immediately think, all right, well, who's on the edge, right? Because that's typically who's tasked at trying to contain these quarterbacks, at least the first line of defense. You had Yonze, you had Justin Hill, got a lot of reps after Quay went down, and of course you had Quay. Man, is this group better? Well, you got two of the same, right? And Justin Hill and Yonze, which, again, and then we talked a little bit about this, but during A-Day, you saw this, so I can talk more about it. It appears that they're going to play more 3-4 defense, at least depending on down and distance, personnel they're seeing, situation, whatever the case may be. But that's one thing that's been evident, that they've been running a lot of 3-4 defense throughout the spring, meaning you're going to see Justin Hill out there. You're going to see Yonze appear at the same time. A lot of people wondering if that was going to be the case. We all know in these rabbit situations, whether it's, you know, third down, dime rabbits, or if you're playing a mobile quarterback and it's you know, first or P and 10 and you want to have a better line of defense, You can go nickel rabbits, but they're playing a lot more 3-4 defense. So you got Justin Hill and Jonze Pierre, both those guys, same as last year. But I also like to include the middle backers as well, right? Because there's going to be times that, you know, they're in zone coverage and they have to go pull up the quarterback, right? Scramble drill. So I would say this. I mean, last year you had Justin Jefferson who ended up running like, you know, was it a 4-4 read? I remember, I know it was at least low 4-5. Did at pro day, did he reach a 4-4? Do we know, or did he end up at low 4-5 for Justin Jefferson?
I want to say, I think it was 4-4-5, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I couldn't remember his pro day number. I don't even know if I ever really saw it. Now that I think about it, but I know at the combine it was like 4-5-1, 4-5-0. Regardless, he's a really fast and athletic linebacker. I thought Nakai Hill Green was you know pretty athletic. You saw it. He's more of an athlete than I thought. I messed up, man. He ran like 4.60 on his 40. Regardless, I think Caleb Woodson's a good athlete. You see right here, Caden Jones running. Pulling up Keelan Russell before he threw that nice touchdown pass. He snuck one in there in that goal line red zone area. But are we better up front to face mobile quarterbacks? Reed, I'll be honest with you. I almost feel like it's probably relatively similar. I don't know why. I think Yonze and Justin Hill on the edge. And it's not like, I mean, oh. Except you got the secret weapon in the arsenal, man, Xavier Griffin. He went on the team last year, and I think he definitely would be a guy that you say, hey, man, all right, we're playing Marcel Reed this week. Let's put in a package where, you know, he's going to be our spy, right? We're playing him at Buck. We're going to have him mug over the, you know, the guard, and we're going to have him operate as a spy. To me, that might be the difference maker. I would say it feels relatively similar to last year's capabilities of doing that, but then you add in a guy like Xavier Griffin, and sorry, I'm like watching these highlights and getting confused. Xavier Griffin, you add him in the mix, and I think he offers something a little bit different. So I don't know. I think we might be a little bit better tasked. I mean, Reed, do you have an opinion on that? Do you think the personnel that we have this year is a little bit better at facing mobile quarterbacks, those dual threat type quarterbacks, like, you know, Texas A&M's Marcel Reed, who we'll face?
Yeah, and that might, you know, help us, I guess, at least with those mobile quarterbacks that we, I guess, kind of have been struggling with, at least in recent history. But to kind of chime in on that, really, that question, how I think about it is, and we've been talking about it, Christian, I think when it comes to bigger guys up front, I think we could, you know, outbeat last year's team. But it's more so, you know, like your dad always says, it doesn't matter who you have. It's really about the matter of fact of what they can do on the field when it counts the most. And so that, of course, we're just talking hypotheticals and projections and, you know, ceilings, but those we can really never answer, at least until we see actual game time when week one comes around.
No, you're right. And if you're talking about the interior guys real quick before we hit this break, I mean, I would probably say it's interesting. I mean, so say you trade off James Smith for Devin Tompkins at that 3-tech spot. Probably argue that James Smith is a really good athlete for a nose/3 technique. Like he can move, but I would probably say the lighter Devin Tompkins, who also is a really good athlete. Probably, I would say there's probably a few better athletes on this defense that you could throw out there to help defend those dual threat quarterbacks than we might have seen over the last season. So good question. But biggest thing is they got to go out there and execute. Not only do you have to face Marcel Reed, but like somebody mentioned in the chat, I don't know how I forgot about this, man. Lenora Sellers, I forgot. He's, you know, back with the Gamecocks, re-signed, and we all know he can move. But not only is he fast, but he's big. So you got to make sure you guys are bringing him down because he's a big old quarterback, man, and we already know that. We faced him the last couple of years. This will make a third year in a row. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We wrap things up on this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. If you guys want to get in on the conversation, 205-342-9904. You got one more segment before we close things out. But first, we'll hit this timeout here. We come back, we wrap things up right here, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Bluetooth kits, and so much more. If your golf cart needs repairs, the pros at Dixie Custom Carts can handle the job. Dixie Custom Carts, Greensboro Avenue in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian.
And that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon, mostly sunny with a high at 86. Clear tonight, the low 63. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny with a high at 87. Thursday, a mix of sun and clouds, a small chance of a late afternoon shower, the high 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 80 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
The Miller's Edge, 9:12:30 WTBC. All right, let's see. I'm trying to think if there is a number of things that, or not even a number of things, a couple more things we could hit as we have a few more minutes left. Again, big thanks to Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson who joined us earlier. If you guys missed it, don't worry. I'm going to cut it up and post it separately because I've learned, right? Sometimes it's hard when people see a two-hour stream. They're like, man, I don't want to go all through that. Don't worry, guys. I'm starting to cut out the main portions and post them separate. So if you guys want to go back and watch the interview with Clint, man, really good stuff. Always enjoy getting Clint's breakdown because he's going to go back and really dive into the depths of it. We'll post that, that way you guys can hear that. Want to give a big thanks and shout out to our friends over at Lamprella Law who have been helping us tremendously put all this stuff together, right? Make sure you guys check them out. Lamprella Law Education Advocacy. If you guys are high school, college, or graduate students, or you have some children that are in those positions, man. Make sure you check them out in terms of providing that help with academic and career success. They provide mentoring, exam and test taking preparation, subject matter mastery, application strategy, personal statements, long-term academic and professional planning. And of course, on the legal side of things, which is really important, whether you need help with NIL, First Amendment cases, and of course, all criminal defense matters, they're going to do it. And they're going to represent you with genuine care, passion, and relentless advocacy. So if you guys are interested in that type of representation, make sure you check them out at 201-317-5115. You can always email Adam himself, adam@lamprello-law.com. Lamprello-law.com is the website. Matter of fact, let's see if it's officially been dropped because I know it's been in the works for a couple weeks, man. Let's see if it's officially there. Boom. It's really close, really close. It's definitely made some progress. You can at least go to the website right here. I'll put it on the screen real quick and you can submit your information for them to contact you. Kind of hard to see on the way I have it set up, but lamprello-law.com, the official representation of the Miller's Edge right here on Tide 100.9 WTBC. All right, Reed, any last minute notes real quick that you wanted to throw out on anything that maybe me and Clint hit on? I know we talked about the offensive line. We talked about the wide receivers. We didn't talk about special teams a whole bunch.
Yeah.
I guess we can make a quick note on that real quick. I know we kind of, I wouldn't say we always, punt them to the side, no pun intended, but we don't talk about them probably enough. What were your thoughts on special teams during A-Day? I think the punter didn't have a whole bunch of opportunities. And I think when he did, it didn't go great. But I know Coach DeBoer has been pleased with the things that he's seen out of him throughout the spring. But we did get to see the kickers. It looked like Talty, I think he missed his kick. If he only had one, maybe he had a, I don't know. I know he missed one. But the transfer kicker that we brought in, I think he was perfect on the day. Then even just early on, before the scrimmage started, just kind of getting an eye on those guys. It felt like the transfer kicker definitely was probably, you know, a little bit more accurate, doing a little bit better than I would say Talty has been. So that's pretty positive news. I hate to say it like that. Not, you know, I'm rooting for both guys, whoever wins the job. But it's positive news to know that we brought in a kicker, knowing if we do, in fact, need to get better in that area, which I think you can always improve. We got somebody there. Any takeaways on special teams, though? I know we didn't really have any, like, true live kickoff or really live punt stuff. Like, you know, you can't really get a good idea on that. But at least just from, like, the specialist perspective. Anything on that, Reed?
Yeah, Christian. I mean, I think the first thing I noticed, and I'll get to kind of that kicker battle, but the first thing I noticed right out the gate was, you know, when they started, like, I guess the kickoff or whatever, the kick returner, I don't know if you mentioned it either today or even yesterday, but
no,
Ryan Coleman-Williams was there for the kick returner. So I think that's a role that, you know, is going to have to be kind of, if he's going to be the guy or even figure out who's going to be that guy come fall, because we lost both our starter and our backup there to the portal. So I found that kind of interesting that he's back there. And then kind of getting to that kicker battle that you were talking about, I think Lorcan Quinn had a great day. And as a matter of fact, you know, when I remember they would do it at least for my high school team, and they did it at A-Day, is when everybody would surround, and Lorcan actually was the guy that took the kick, but everybody surrounded him right at the end, kind of trying to distract him, get all the pressure on him. And he ended up nailing the one that pretty much ended A-Day over the weekend. So I think he's certainly made it competitive and really giving Connor Talty a run for his money.
Please pronounce his name one more time. I got to get this right, man. I got to hammer it down.
It is Lorcan. So L-O-R-C-A-N and then Quinn. Lorcan Quinn.
Lorcan Quinn. Thank you. When I was reading, for some reason, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be saying this right. And then I just kept forgetting it because I wasn't actually saying it. Lorcan Quinn, Mr. Quinn, I apologize. You're not just the transfer kicker. You were Mr. Lorcan Quinn. So, yes, I agree. You had a good day. And I'm really glad you brought up that point, because that's clearly a big deal about special teams that I completely, you know, skipped right over. Ryan Williams, Coleman Williams, I should say, was back there. And you're right. We definitely need to replace whoever's going to be fielding punts or kicks. How do you feel about Ryan Coleman-Williams back there, Reed? Because, you know, a lot of people typically, when they see some of your star players on special teams, they kind of cringe, man. They feel like they need to hold their breath. Now, I can already see imagine the responses. Well, I mean, I don't even know if Ryan's our best receiver. I can see people saying that. But listen, he's still a valuable piece, and he best believe he's got probably the most potential. I know Latsia Brooks is definitely one of those guys too, but you get the point. I mean, Ryan Coleman-Williams back there, you know, might make some people nervous, but here's my thing. He did field some punts over the last couple of seasons. He showed that ability. We all know when he has the ball in his hands, like, we can all sit there and say, yeah, I mean, there's been some inconsistencies with the drops, but there's no denying that guy has some of the, you know, most impressive ability once the football is in his hands. If you're talking about more explosive plays, which we know, one thing that we talked a lot about on this show over the season that I don't think many people mentioned a whole bunch was the field position battle. Me and Gray Robertson, we used to talk about all the time on our post-game show on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. That was a big issue for Alabama, right? Teams were they were starting the field in much better position, which is obviously much easier task at scoring, and vice versa. You know, Alabama had a lot of times where our field position wasn't great. Offense was having to, you know, really have long drives at times. So being able to field punts and kicks and really take advantage of it is important. And I think a guy like Ryan Coleman-Williams has that ability. So personally, me, I'm for it. I like it. I respect it. I think it allows you to have that explosive element. And I know he did have a fumble on a punt last year. And I think in that Oklahoma game that we ended up losing. So we got to make sure that we have ball security. But I like that explosive element out of him. So I see somebody mentioned, well, they don't want him to drop the punt. Okay, I understand. But fielding a punt is a little bit different than, you know, running and catching the shoulder, you know, catching a pass, looking over your shoulder. I don't know, but I hear what you're saying. Hey, real quick, just quick reminder about our friends over at R&R Cigars. If you're in the market for those premium cigars, make sure you guys check them out. rnrcigars.com. Use that code Miller's Edge on that website, and it'll get you a nice 20% discount. Plus, if you're in the area, man, check them out. Visit the mansion. They got the best humidor in the Southeast. Over 160 bourbons you can try. Drink responsibly. Wrap around porch. The weather is great. Plenty of sports to watch. They love to have you and entertain you right there at R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fitz Street, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. We got to get out of here. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us on this Talking Tuesday. We'll be back with you tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC.